History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big time, a power shift in Congress. I mean, Mitch McConnell pretty much checked out. Lindsey Graham died suddenly. There are these new questions being raised about the age of members of Congress, which has jumped by like 20 years in the last decade. There are senators running for re-election that are 79 years old. Trump is 80. God bless the seniors doing their thing, but at the end of the day, it makes it tougher and tougher to lead when you can't get up out of your chair, with all due respect to Mitch McConnell and anyone else who's in their 80s trying to serve their government. There have been discussions about an age limit. You know, here's my thing. We elect them. We know their age. We saw what happened with Biden. We saw what's happening with Trump to a degree. We saw what's happening live with Mitch McConnell on several occasions. Patrick, we discussed a lot on Nancy Pelosi. Pushing her around in a chair, barely able to communicate. There has to be some point, Patrick, where constituents have to say, we love you, but it's time to go. You know what I mean, sir?
Absolutely. I think one of the problems we're having is there are not enough younger people stepping up that want to do these jobs.
Right.
Because they're constantly under fire.
I know this from Guy Reschenthaler, who has flat out said, he hates the job. Flat out, can't wait to get out of Washington. Flat out, government doesn't work. Conversely, there are a significant number of congressmen and senators, like Dave McCormick, that work their asses off and love every single day of it and do it with a zest and enthusiasm that I love to see. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chance to make a difference in America. However, as we see with our own lives, as we see with our own careers, as you get into your 60s, right here, and older, things change. And for the most part, functioning sometimes becomes very difficult. Lindsey Graham, out of the blue. However, if you talk to doctors, they say very easily could have been detected with a number of tests. And very easily could have been prevented. Mitch McConnell, different story. Joe Biden, different story. Nancy Pelosi, different story. Very, very different story. Very, very unique circumstances. However, stand by for what? Hello? Waiting on the senator, Dave McCormick. Wanted to talk to him about Washington.
They are joining now.
Good morning, Senator. How are you? Do we have audio? This has been a hell of a Monday. I see him. I don't hear him. Hello? No audio. All right. As we try to work out those bugs, we cannot hear Senator McCormick. Maybe we have him call, since we can't get this video link going. We are having more trouble with technical stuff today than they are having on the parkway with their construction. I have no idea why. Senator, can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
It's a miracle.
All right.
How are you, sir?
Sorry about that.
It happens.
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing? I haven't talked to you. I was, you know, we were texting. You look good. Are you out of the woods? Are you feeling better?
Yeah. I had near-death experience. My blood pressure was 60 over 40. I had sepsis. And here I am. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be alive. I think all of us go through these tests and trials, sir, do we not? And it kind of made my resolve even stronger and my commitment from, quite frankly, your folks were amazing reaching out. And you were amazing reaching out because you care about people.
I'm glad you're okay. Glad you're okay.
Let's talk about what happened over the weekend with the senator passing. He's a hell of a man, had a hell of an influence, didn't he, sir?
He really did. I was friends with him before I joined the Senate. I've known him for probably 20 years. And I had a chance to, I was probably 15 years ago, I had a chance to be on a trip with him. The Senate took a bunch of CEOs to Europe, to Munich. And it was Lindsey and John McCain and Joe Lieberman. It was the three amigos. And, he was a unique combination because he was such a strong, fierce voice to fight for freedom, for fight for America's interests. I didn't always agree with Lindsey, but you always knew where he stood. He was passionate.
Exactly.
And he also had the ability to joke. I mean, he would be in the cloakroom cutting jokes. He'd 10 minutes after giving a foot stomping speech, he'd be in there. He could work with the other side, but he never sort of compromised what he thought. And, he was a force, and he did a lot of good in the world. And I'm truly saddened to see him go.
It's shocking. I mean, we say this all the time when someone passes, sir, but honestly, sir, this is shocking, Senator, is it not?
Yeah. Well, he seems so vibrant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think it's when people are slowing down and they're starting to age, you is less surprised. The difference with him was he was almost gaining energy.
Yes.
He was in the middle of everything, Iran, Ukraine. He was talking to foreign leaders constantly. He had the cell phone welded to his ear. And so he was at the, you know, the kind of the pinnacle of his influence in the world and in America. And he had obviously President Trump's ear, even though they didn't always agree. He was certainly a trusted confidant of President Trump. So I think the tragedy is that he was the joyful thing I would say is he was literally doing the thing that he wanted to do most in the world. He lived joyfully every day. He was in the center of everything. I think the tragedy is he was at the pinnacle of his influence, and there's lots more to be done.
Senator, what troubles me about social media and the world we live in and the rhetoric, the minute he dies, far left progressives making hateful comments about him, which disgusts me, sir. And then the conspiracy morons. He was killed by Russia. He was killed by Iran. He was killed by Israel. This stuff does not help anyone, does it, sir?
No. It really doesn't. I mean, honestly, I don't look at the social media. I post things,
yes,
but I don't look at it because I find it so, it's just so depressing.
It is.
Because the negativity and it's coming from the right and the left. And, you know, if you're a serious person trying to do good things for America, whether you're right or wrong, or whether someone agrees with you or disagrees with you, can we not agree that if someone's willing to put themselves in the arena, as Lindsey Graham did, that we should cherish that and welcome that and support the spirit of their service, even if we disagree with some of the specifics? So that's a horrible part of politics today and social media today. In terms of the conspiracy theories, we see this everywhere.
We do.
And I think it just puts a burden on those of us in public life to be as transparent as possible, right? Just as transparent. Like everything, you know, I'll point to an example of this. Some people do this really well. I would say, the Biden administration did it terribly. when it came to President Biden's health.
Horrible.
We all saw something happening, and yet we didn't. John Fetterman, my colleague and friend, he handled it with, you know, great,
hell yeah,
great integrity.
Yep.
So here's a guy who goes into treatment for depression and is transparent about it and comes out very honestly and says, this is what I'm working through. I'm not sure when I'll be done. When I'm done, I'll let you know. And has come back to the Senate and I think has been a remarkably strong voice of common sense and personal courage. But there's a way to do this well and not to do it well. And as it relates to Lindsay, I was happy to see that, you know, a lot of data and information came out pretty quickly. It's the only way to deal with a conspiracy theorist is to give all the information and show that what really happened happened.
Senator Dave McCormick, I love you. I've said this from day one, and I've known Fetterman 25 years. He's family. I respect and admire that you work together. However, the cockroaches came out in full force, sir, because you two stood together and said, we're going to try and raise some funds. Man, the conspiracy, sir, the hate, sir. Were you prepared for this ignorance? Were you prepared for this?
Well, I don't even really know it because I'm not on social media. See, that's the beauty of this. But that is the funniest thing in the following sense. You know, Fetterman and I, we're very public in what we agree on a lot of things, but we disagree on a lot. Voting records are very different, so we disagree on more than we agree on. But some donors came out and approached me and said, listen, we had been previously supportive of me. They said, listen, we love what you guys are doing for Pennsylvania. It's all about Pennsylvania. We'd like to do something for both of you. And I said, absolutely. I talked to Senator Fetterman and said, hey, what do you think about this? And he said, yeah, let's do it. And of course, he's been very transparent. He says he's not going to become a Republican. Huh. I take him at his word.
Yeah, yeah.
He says he wouldn't be a very good Republican because he disagrees with me on so many things. So anyway, the thing I want to say there is that we're lucky to have him. He is a good man. He's an honest man. He's fighting for Pennsylvania every day. Whenever I come to him on, I want to do this or that or vice versa, his first sentence is always, this is for Pennsylvania. Here's what's good for Pennsylvania. He is a very good senator. And the fact that Pennsylvania could elect us both when we're so different shows you a lot about Pennsylvania. And I tell you what, people expect us to work together. I don't know, I'm not sure what the cockroaches are saying, but I'll tell you what, the thing that people come up to me in the airports, people who approach me, it's almost across the board. Thank God you guys are showing a love for Pennsylvania and a willingness to work together for Pennsylvania. So I feel like it's what people sent us here to do.
Senator, very important event this weekend that the president will attend. Can you tell us why this is important, sir? I love it.
Yeah, well, it's a version of what you attended last year, yep. Marty. We did this incredible event in Pittsburgh, as you know, the Energy and Innovation Summit. My view is that Pennsylvania needs to be the lead in some of the most dynamic things happening for America and in the world. So one of those is energy and AI. That was last year. This year, it's defense and innovation. And, you know, the world's changing dramatically. It's a dangerous place. The defense budget is going up significantly. The face of war is changing with drones and autonomy and robots. And Pennsylvania is uniquely positioned to lead the charge. And we've got robotics and AI and drones in Pittsburgh. We've got the Philadelphia shipyard. We've got the submarine component manufacturer Rhodes. We've got the next generation combat vehicle in York. We've got hundreds of defense startups. So this thing is going to be amazing. We got 1,000 people coming. It's going to be 2 days. There's 400 Pennsylvania businesses that are going to be meeting with investors. We've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs coming to do a talk tomorrow. And then on the second day of the summit, it's all at the Army War College in Carlisle, which is an incredible facility, Marty. If you've never been there, it's amazing. The president's going to come. He's going to give we're going to have a CEO roundtable. He's going to give a keynote. And the whole focus is on three things. Number one, what peace through strength means and what we need to do in evolving our defense, how Pennsylvania can be at the forefront of this revolution that's taking place. And like the last time, it's about getting things done. So there'll be a number of announcements of big deals that are being done and investments that are being made. There'll be 50 announcements or so of things that are going to happen in Pennsylvania. So the reason I'm doing this is I want to use my platform as a senator, but also Pennsylvania is all that it has to offer to kind of lead the charge and make sure everybody in America knows that this is the place where it's all happening. The other thing I want to say is we're going to talk about workforce a lot. We've got 190,000 jobs in the defense industry. I want to make that 290,000, 390,000, and we're going to have the building trades and lots of folks talking about labor, because skilled labor is the name of the game, and that's why Pennsylvania is so well positioned.
I get irritated as hell about the bias in politics and the media coverage of politics. The liberal media went out of its way to say that that massive event that you had in D.C. And by the way, you won the best in show at the Great American State Fair. Thousands showed up. Hey, my man, I got to tell you, I saw them. Your booth was friggin' beautiful, and you have to be proud, sir.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that was, the way that came about is I read an article. It was like the week it was supposed to happen. I hadn't seen the news report on Friday, but Saturday morning I woke up. I'm reading the news, and it says the governor has said that there's not going to be a booth,
right,
and that businesses wouldn't
come
support
on, Josh.
I'm like, are you kidding?
Come
me?
On, Josh.
So I called Fetterman. I said, I'm going to do something. If I have to pay for this damn thing myself, nice, I'm going to do it. And then I called Fetterman, and Fetterman's like, I'm with you. And then I called a bunch of businesses, and they were like, yeah, yeah. And so I called the governor, and I said, Governor, I think this is not good for Pennsylvania. He said the businesses are just not there. And I said, let me try. I'm going to do something. And what happened was it just started build energy.
It was cool.
Like, people are like, oh my God, Pennsylvania. How can you not have Pennsylvania?
It was cool.
Where the country's born, arsenal of democracy, hallowed fields of Gettysburg. I mean, this is Pennsylvania. It is American history, right? And it just took off, Marty. I mean, I'd like to take more credit, but it's not me.
It's amazing.
We got it started, the ball rolling down the hill. 55 different organizations came out of the woodwork. The Pennsylvania Manufacturers, the Chamber of Commerce, the Penn
Love it.
Ag, the
Love
Farmer,
it.
Farm Bureau.
Love it.
You know, a lady from Northeast Pennsylvania is like a Christmas tree farmer says, Pennsylvania's got to have a Christmas tree. She slaps a Christmas tree on her car and drives 5 hours to Washington, D.C. so we have a Christmas tree. We have a Liberty Bell.
Beautiful.
We had this incredible display of traditional American flags and the importance to Pennsylvania. And I don't know what the final number was. It had to be 20, 30,000 people that came through.
It's beautiful.
And it was across the board loved.
Boom.
I mean, the lines in 100-degree weather were standing out there. So it was bigger. It was bigger than it took on a life of its own. So I was super proud of it. And it did win. You know, there were 50 booths. It won the best in show of the 50 booths. Or there wasn't 50, I guess. There was 45 or something.
Yeah,
there's a couple states that didn't do it. And Pennsylvania should take a lot of pride in that.
Senator, you're the man. And here's what makes you unique, sir. You're real. You're legit. And you give a damn. I'm laying in an ICU and I get statements from him and texts from him and texts from his people. Just, how are you? How can we help? It means a lot, sir. And you are the real deal. And thanks for caring. Appreciate you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a great day, Marty.
All right, man. Huge event this weekend.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, life and death. is tough. It's tough enough when you lose a parent. I lost both my parents, but man, we had them for so long. But when you lose a son, man, or a daughter, man, I got this note over the weekend, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this GoFundMe page, and I don't know. And Mom sent me this GoFundMe page, and the family's struggling to pay for this young man's funeral costs, and I have to grab her. And then right now, as we speak, Patrick is posting this GoFundMe page on both of our social sites, as we can hope to help, man, raise the money to pay for this young man's funeral. My God. Adrian, no yes. words can describe the pain, right? I mean, it's unbearable.
No, I just, it was, like, there was nothing, there was no signs or symptoms, there was nothing. He said goodnight. He went upstairs, and when we went up in the morning, just things didn't make sense. He was laying on his stomach, the opposite end of normal, and I knew in my heart he was already gone, but I was still trying to do compressions and things, but he was already blue and cold, and his eyes were black, and I mean, the police and detectives and everything, and they said they don't any foul play. He wasn't like suicidal or anything. No. The only thing that we could think of is a very rare chance that it was a pulmonary embolism after a trip for school, or we didn't know until recently. I hadn't talked to my sister-in-law in a long time, but she has a heart condition that's hereditary, and had we known, we could have had him checked. And it's very, very likely that it was that. It's called HCM, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and it can cause sudden cardiac death
in Jesus.
Adolescence.
20 years old, for God's sakes.
He was 3 minutes older. He's a twin.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. So he's struggling right now. We're all just with maxed out our vacation time. We've maxed out every option. We had no 401k or life insurance for it because we used everything that we had for to help them pay for school.
And by the way, he was living his dream. Just got back from Japan where he was in school.
Yeah, he was going to minor in Japanese, and he wanted to go there his senior year, and he wanted to move there. And that's the ultimate goal, is that to get his ashes, some of them, over there to spread.
What's his full name, ma'am? So what was his full name?
Gianluca.
Oh, my gosh, Soletto. That's beautiful. Gianluca.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just a crazy kid. He was so loving. He made every day better. He was always happy. He loved to do for people. It was just...
Well, the best we can do, and I wish I could hug you right now, but I'm just reading this morning, and
Thank you for your help.
And I can't imagine. I can't even just feel that kind of pain to lose your son this way. The best we can do, folks, is help. As most parents struggle to get their kids through school, of course they didn't have life insurance for them. That's very uncommon. Of course they hadn't started a 401k. It's very uncommon. And God bless you. You're actually struggling to try and pay for the funeral, the truth be known, right?
Yeah, for just everything, yeah, all the final expenses. And then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this tuition costs and all that. They write that stuff off once I get the death certificate, but I don't know.
Well, don't lose contact with me. I know he's a slippery rock. They're a wonderful school. We have resources there. Well, don't get bogged down in that kind of stress. We will help you out with that as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
So there's a GoFundMe page. It's a couple $1,000s short, folks. And if we could fill that void just to try and help alleviate some of the pain that his wonderful mom is feeling this morning as you try to get through this, and it's unbearable. On top of that, you have financial stress, which makes it even worse, does it not, my dear?
Yes, very much.
I wish I could do more, but we will make sure you get to your goal so that you can at least pay for this wonderful service. If there's anything I can do, now you have my information. We've been communicating all morning. Please don't hesitate to call me, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, my dear. I'm so sorry. That's all I can do. Yeah, it's... Man. So my man Patrick hustled and posted both of these, both the GoFundMe on our social. We need folks to step up with about $4,000. So they can pay for this funeral. It's very, very difficult, but we have found over the years, Patrick, that GoFundMe is the most reliable and the site that most people trust. Do you not agree?
Yeah, it's a good platform, and they do a nice job vetting people.
Right.
So you're not getting, you know, you're not putting money in the hands of somebody who's trying to scam you.
No. We have gone through this, by the way, with JC in particular. This amazing teenage girl that battled cancer and passed in the last 6 months. And we became family with her and her mom. And I don't know how you manage that, Patrick. And mom needs our help. Her son just died, found him in his sleep. Probably, as you heard from her, some sort of genetic issue. Just got back from overseas study in Japan, was living his dream. The pages are up now, right, Patrick?
Yep, they're up now on our Facebook page and our X page, Get Marty.
All right, folks. Thanks, Patrick. Trying to reach a goal of 10,000. We'd love to have your folks help to get there so that at least they can pay. Mom writes, today we unexpectedly lost our sweet baby boy.
Wow.
No idea what happened. He's 20. No life insurance. No amount of money can ever bring him back. But we want to give him the best farewell possible. Please find it in your hearts to help with funeral expenses. It's on all of our social media right now. And we will pray for mom. I don't know what else to say or how the hell she would get through this.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone's talking about the Parkway. in the shutdown, one of my boys, Judge Ricky King, has been back and forth on it today. And quite frankly, the reports we're getting are wonderful and positive. And he saw something really cool. And I wanted him to tell you what he saw. I love this. Listen. Hey, Judge, thanks for calling back, sir.
Hello, Marty. How are you?
What's up, brother? What are you seeing? I love this.
The return trip from Monroeville back to Carrick was no problem. And what I noticed that was pretty cool was as I was coming down Braddock Avenue, heading, I guess, that Swissville going into Rankin, some parents had their kids out at the stop sign with coolers selling water and Gatorade.
I love it.
And I thought, what a good idea, and to make a couple bucks. The shame of it is, since the traffic wasn't that bad, I don't know how much they were selling, but it was a good, I hope they stay there for the whole month. It was really neat. It was a great idea. And, you know, it was nice to see kind of a throwback to maybe when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But it was nice. So those kids are out there hustling up, trying to make a buck. And that's a good thing.
I know you didn't buy any, Judge.
Well, I couldn't stop.
Uh-huh. You know, would make a comment
and
about
it. I'm going to send John Weinstein out there later, and he's going to give them money and just give it for free for everyone.
Judge Ricky King, I love it, man. But what's amazing is you've gone both ways now and seen no ill effects of this at all. It's been a breeze.
No. There was no problem coming back traffic-wise. It was kind of like how it is if I would go that way and a parkway was open. It was moving pretty well. And there were some big trucks there, too. And at the turn, you know, where it was backing up, I guess, on the weekend, the turn to get onto the high-level bridge down at Homestead was just a regular light back up for the light, and they turned, and everything was moving pretty good. So, knock on wood, huh?
Judge Ricky King, you're my man. Thanks, brother.
All righty. Take care.
It's like the old lemonade stands. I think it's cool. I love it that the young men and women are trying to make an extra couple bucks. And if you see them and can slow down, throw a couple bucks at them, get a Gatorade or a water. It's fabulous stuff. Cannot let go of the mom we had on the show a few minutes ago. What happens is you don't understand middle-class families. You heard mom. They work their asses off to pay for their son to go to college. They work their asses off so their son could study in Japan. Just got back, 20 years old. And Gianluca, wow, what a beautiful name. And they went up to his room and he was dead. Cops found nothing. Investigators found nothing. An autopsy is going to take a while. They think it might be some sort of genetic issue related to his heart. Trevin said something. He has a twin brother, 4 minutes older. I can't imagine that pain. And if you folks get the chance, we posted the GoFundMe. They're trying to pay for the funeral. As mom said, and middle-class families live this, they didn't have a 401k for the young man. Most parents don't have that at this point when the boy's still in college. We're still trying to pay for our kids' college. They didn't have life insurance. Most parents can't barely make ends meet. They've gone through all the vacation. They've dried up their resources. And honestly, they need our help to pay for the funeral. And we have the GoFundMe page up on our X page and on our Facebook page. And if you can help in any way, they're about $3,000 to $4,000 short to pay for this funeral for this. I cannot imagine losing a 20-year-old son and being able to breathe. And I respect and admire mom for the courage to come on here and tell that story. But they need our help. And let's step up and help them. Please. Please help.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.